Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Air Force One.
It looks sweet. The colors are nice.
Dale Arnold.
You got to eat a poop sandwich. It doesn't taste good.
Poop is poop.
Rich Keefe.
I don't think it's about Brad Stevens for Kyrie. I think no matter who you put, Phil Jackson, Kyrie just feels like he knows more than that coach, period.
Dale and Keefe.
It's an ice hockey. Dale's dead. Can we get Dale water or something?
It's too late.
He's not well right now. Can we get him something like a lozenge? Is anybody listening? Can somebody help this guy out?
He's dead on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. So even though the Bruins are playing tonight in Raleigh, North Carolina, game three of their best of seven Eastern Conference Finals series, a chance to take a 3-0 stranglehold on the series, they haven't played since Sunday. So there's been a little gap there, not game action to talk about. By the way, when we do talk about it tomorrow, Brian Boucher, who is part of the
Brian
NBC.
Boucher.
Yeah, he's done a good job.
Good, yeah.
He's going to join us for tomorrow's show and break down what we saw tonight. But it appears that the Celtics are getting a fair amount of attention, A, because they've been eliminated and there's the question marks about Kyrie Irving. Does he stay? Does he go? You know, are they going to have to blow it up here?
And because they might get the number two pick in the draft.
A 1.1% chance.
I don't even know if it's that good.
Yeah, that's what I saw today.
Yeah,
a 1.1% chance of getting the number two pick in the draft.
Oof. Well,
so you're saying there's a
chance. Something to watch for.
There's
tonight.
A chance.
Yes.
And so you've got that. Plus, you had Terry Rozier down on the car wash at ESPN, who let's just say he's burning some of the bridges.
Yes.
On his apparent way out of town.
Well, he's already talked about. Remember in the post game of them getting eliminated, Game Five against the Bucks, and he essentially did like a one on one with A'Sherrod Blakely, and he was talking about how much he had to sacrifice. Nobody sacrifices as much as he did. Doesn't want to complain, but like one of those types of things. And then today. I don't know why
like
they landed on him.
When you start a sentence with all due respect,
yeah.
You mean none.
I'm about to rip you.
Yeah.
I'm about to absolutely torch you. And so for some reason, think about all the players in the NBA. And they have Terry Rozier on all these shows on ESPN. I don't really get that. Like out of all the guys you want to hear from, but they're smart.
But he's available.
He says he's available. Yes, he certainly is available. But he also says stuff as well.
So which of the car wash shows, Rossi, is this one
with Kellerman? And,
this is First Take.
Okay,
yeah, this is First
the
Take.
The excellent First Take show, and he has opened up about everything.
This was the most talented team I ever played on.
Right, and it didn't work out. No one feels sorry for Brad Stevens not being able to figure it out. You got all that talent, Stephen A. has brought up Gordon Hayward. As I said, I've focused on Kyrie because it's supposed to be his team. He was supposed to be the leader of the team. He's won a championship. He wanted his own team. He got to Boston. You guys are loaded. How much do you think the negative result ultimately, you were a good team but not a great one, how much is a result of Kyrie? How much is a result of the young guys, yourself included, but obviously you mentioned Tatum and you mentioned Jaylen Brown, not adjusting yourselves properly to Kyrie, or is it a Gordon Hayward issue?
I feel like it's a little bit of both, and I feel like that along with the coaches, you know, them treating Gordon and Kyrie, I wouldn't say different than everybody else, but you know, I feel like they just treat them like they was on that level where. There were no adjustments that could be made because they are who they are. And, you know, we never figured it out. Figured it out after that.
So basically, what was the problem with the team? And based off of that question, it was Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, and Brad Stevens. Like, he's blaming all three of those guys. So it doesn't take anything about himself. Doesn't talk about, you know, the young guys. So it was the coaches didn't know how to use them. Kyrie let him down late, and then Gordon Hayward was never himself. So Terry Rozier just going on there and deciding to rip all of those guys.
Going into business for himself, as they say in the wrestling world.
And you could almost understand it if you were a great player. But you're the backup point guard. he's still living off of those home games and the Scary Terry t-shirts and the Drew Bledsoe jersey. That's what he's hanging his hat on. But you had two chances to go to the NBA Finals, and you blew it.
So earlier today, Jeff Goodman appeared on OMF. You're correct. With Mutton Callahan this morning. I think Alex was on with him as well. And now, Jeff said something which I have suggested and been openly mocked about by you and others.
Wait a minute. What do you mean?
Well, let's hear what Jeff's take is on how Danny Ainge might approach this.
Is there a scenario in your mind where Kyrie Irving says to Danny Ainge, look, I'll be back and let's get Anthony Davis, but I want a new coach? How's that relationship between Kyrie Irving and Brad Stevens? Is there a chance that it's a one or the other scenario for the Celtics going forward?
I actually think Danny Ainge would pick Brad Stevens if that scenario were presented to him. I really do. I think at this point, Danny Ainge, who usually talent trumps everything else for him. But I think at this point, I think he understands that, you know what, it's not going to work with Kyrie Irving at the highest level and winning a title. But I guess, if he'd have a dilemma there in his hands, if he knew he could get Anthony Davis, then maybe he'd have a decision to make. But I don't think he gets to that point. I don't think Kyrie – listen, here's my deal. I don't think it's about Brad Stevens for Kyrie. I think it's just about everybody. I think no matter who you put, Phil Jackson, if you had John Wooden, whoever it was, I think Kyrie just feels like he knows more than that coach, period.
See, I think he's – the way Goodman makes it out to be is like, you know, most GMs would take the player over the coach. But he's saying Kyrie proved that he's not the guy.
And he also said – if Ainge had to choose, if Kyrie made that demand and said, listen, I'll come back, but he's got to go, Danny would say no.
But if Ainge got to choose between Kyrie and Davis or Stevens, I think you'd pick Kyrie and Davis. I think he would. I think he would take both of those guys. Because I don't even know. Do we know if Brad can coach a superstar? And then Goodman brings up a good point. Like, I don't know who Kyrie would even want. You know, he might be like LeBron. Oh, I think I want Ty Lue. Like, well, do you? Like, is that really who you want? They want somebody that maybe they can boss around. Because there's not many guys I think Kyrie Irving would really respect. Like maybe Popovich, because Pop could say, like, look at all my rings.
Think about that for a minute. Now he's a very good player, okay? Yeah. Let's say top 15.
Yeah, I think he definitely
inching
is.
Inching to top 10, but I don't think he's in the top 10. But right
That's
there.
That's fine.
And yet there's no one other than Greg Popovich he would respect.
Well,
like,
there
was no one out there who knows as much about the game of basketball as he does.
Well, does he think that those people know as much?
Saying.
Yeah, I was going to say. There are definitely people who know as much.
Oh, no, I think there are.
Right.
In his mind.
Oh, in his mind?
There's only a guy or two out there who knows more about this game than I do.
Not many. I think you'd have to look at some of the former players who are coaches and what kind of careers did they have, what did they win. Those might be the guys. That's why the rumor. So Jason Kidd is going to be an assistant coach with the Lakers. And that added more fuel to that rumor that
he's the interim coach in waiting.
Yeah, as soon as LeBron's sick of Vogel, it's going to be Kidd.
Out.
Like, got a tough job there for Vogel. Like, all right, you're just waiting for him. But that might be somebody that Kyrie Irving respects. It's clearly not Stevens. Isn't that pretty clear?
And yes.
You know what's also scary, though?
Neither does Terry Rozier, apparently.
Yes, that's what's scary about it. If Terry freaking Rozier doesn't respect the coach, maybe nobody does. Is that a Brad Stevens issue, or is that more individual study of Kyrie Irving and sort of his attitude, but also Terry Rozier and his thoughts?
I have said all along that my gut feeling, it's only a gut feeling, is that Wick probably hesitates at the idea of offering this guy max money to stay here.
Yeah.
That Wick, you know, is thinking, yeah, really?
Right.
We're going to pay this guy?
Like, the fans don't even like him.
See, I'm now at the point where not only do I think Wick doesn't want him back, I don't think Danny wants him back either.
Yeah, that's the big one. That's the biggest key.
I don't think Danny would go to Wick and say, listen, let me make my case here. We got to keep this guy.
Right.
I don't think Danny wants him back.
Because you know Brad doesn't.
Oh,
he would never say
it,
but no chance he wants him back. So it's really, can Danny Ainge sway those two, Wick Rosbeck, Brad Stevens, on bringing back Kyrie? But then he also has to convince Kyrie to stay, too. So there a lot of things need to happen for him to be back here next year. But,
and by the way, if you did convince him, if you offered him the max, mm-hmm. and he said yes, and he said all the stuff, how long would that last?
Oh, my God.
How long would he still be a team player? How long would he be in agreement with the things that you wanted to do till, like,
Halloween?
There'd be a year if you got Anthony Davis. That's the only way it could work even for a year, I think. Because is he all of a sudden going to go into the locker room and look at Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Gordon Hayward and Al Horford differently? Like, it's going to be the same guy. You know, Goodman was saying that, you know, it's, he doesn't even know if it's a coach issue. He's like, it could just be a Kyrie issue. And he even says, and we all know it just from following Danny Ainge as the GM and trying to make all these moves, he says talent is what wins out. And it often can, but this season it did not. They were absolutely loaded. They really were. If you look 1 through 8 or 9, pretty damn good. And for them to get bounced out in the second round, it's an issue. There's a lot of people to sort of point the finger at. I just find it comical that the 8th or 9th best player is pointing his finger at the coach, the best player, and the guy coming off an injury.
How many players in the Celtics locker room right now do you think would want him back?
Kyrie?
Yep.
0?
It might be.
Could it be 0? Now, Marcus Smart, to be fair, Marcus Smart defended him.
Yep.
Marcus Smart said it was BS, that it was, you know, that was the problem with the team. So if you want to take him at his word, maybe Marcus Smart would want him back. I can't imagine anybody else would. Who's better with him? No, so Rossi, you think Jason Tatum?
I think Tatum does. I think Tatum actually wasn't better this year, but I think he knew the team was better, and I think he liked his role within that team.
So he's one of the few guys that apparently, like, they get along, like they like each other enough. But I think Jason Tatum would be thrilled if Kyrie was gone, because that frees up about 20 shots a game, and Tatum could be a 20-point per game guy.
And you're not walking around on eggshells every day.
Yeah.
What kind of mood's he going to be when he comes in today? Is he going to be happy? Is he going to be sad? Is he going to be mad? Is he going to be...
Right.
Pain in my ass.
And I think, you know, right now those guys have a real opportunity. Like, hey, you made the conference finals without him. All right, now you get a full season. Let's see where you are. Let's see how you get into the playoffs, where you are, 1 through 8, and then go from there. And then Tatum, because if Kyrie is gone and it's essentially this team back minus Kyrie, Tatum should be a 20-point per game guy. He, you know, his goal is to make an all-star team. Maybe year 3 he does. Maybe he feels a little bit better about himself. And the team just plays better together, even though they take away their single greatest talent.
So we've been playing cuts from Terry Rozier in the car wash today at ESPN.
Yeah.
And for the most part, they're kind of easy to figure out. There are times he says things, though, or has said things down there today, which have me a little confused, including this discussion point he had about Kyrie.
You know, he's a great guy, great leader. You know, you just have to adjust to his style. And whatever Kyrie wants done, that's what he's going to show it. That's what he wants done, and you have to adjust to his style of play and how he goes about every game and every day.
He's a great guy and a great leader.
Nope, those are just words.
Yeah, exactly.
But then he's like,
but I do like the beat in the background.
But he's also, his point is that, and I think I said this earlier in the year, was that Kyrie Irving reminds you a little bit of the guy Split from the movie Split. A little bit like that. Like, you don't know what day, because it's one thing. He says, hey, you have to adapt your game to Kyrie. But I heard that cut as if he's saying every day might be different. So it's not like, here's how Kyrie plays, and then you just fit in and go from there. One game he might be playing one way, or the next game he might be playing a little bit differently. He's in a good mood. He's in a bad mood. Hey, he's pass first. Oh, nope. Now he's scoring. Like, we've seen games where Kyrie has gone out first quarter and tried to establish his scoring. We've seen other games where he's trying to get other guys involved. Maybe that's what he's talking about. I don't know. I mean, I think Rozier was trying not to completely throw him under the bus, but he's been throwing...
But then he threw him under the bus.
No, he's been throwing everybody under the bus in this whole interview. My biggest takeaway is probably more him bad-mouthing Brad Stevens than even Kyrie Irving. Because there's a chance that you're back with the Celtics next year. And you're saying your coach couldn't really figure it out. That's, I don't know if that's the best way of going about it, but that's Terry Rozier for you.
It is an amazing dilemma that the Celtics face, that Danny Ainge face. And by the way, I throw this in just as an aside. We knew about the health issues that Danny had during the Milwaukee series. We knew that, thankfully, he got the medical attention he needed for the slight heart attack that he reportedly suffered in Milwaukee, came home.
Right.
We haven't heard anything.
No updates.
Then.
No, I know. 'Cause I
nothing.
I mean, obviously, yeah, you're hoping everything is okay with Danny Ainge and he can take all the time he needs to get back. But as far as anybody in the organization, like, who you want to hear from, and again, at this time of the year, you can't always be 100% truthful anyway, but I am fascinated to know what Danny Ainge thinks about, you know, what's going to happen, you know, with their draft picks going into the year, but more importantly, they're free agents. And they have, you know, between Kyrie, maybe Al Horford. He has a player option. I assume he's going to pick it up, but Al Horford could be a free agent. Morris and Morris is unrestricted. Rozier is a restricted free agent. So this team is going to look different next year, no matter what, based off of those guys. But I'm fascinated to hear him talk about it.
I mean, Horford, we expect, will probably not opt out simply because he's got $30 million coming.
I wouldn't think so.
And would he be able to get $30 million out there somewhere? Probably not.
No, but could he get $65, $70 million for the next 3 years? And does he think that's
better?
And
be happier.
Yeah. Or, yeah, I don't know. And that's the other thing.
And maybe he thinks once some of the underlying issues are resolved, meaning Kyrie's gone,
right,
he'll be happier here anyway.
Could be, yeah, right. He could be happier here without Kyrie. Or is any part of him say, hey, I'm getting a little bit older, I want to play in the finals? Like, would he go and play? See, I don't know how much less he would take, but would he go and jump on one of these contending teams? Like, would he say, hey, maybe I'm the missing piece for the Rockets, or maybe I'm the missing, or maybe I'm
or when Kevin Durant leaves Golden
State. Like, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think he would have to take too big of a pay cut to go to some of those true contenders, but he's made a ton of money in his career. Maybe they give him a 2 or 3 year deal and he makes it back. I don't know. So I'm with you. I assume he's back, but that's another guy that they have to figure out what's going on.
This seems like one of the most daunting off seasons of Danny Ainge's career here.
Oh, yeah.
There are so many moving parts. There's so many things to resolve. So many problems. I mean, you've got a locker room that apparently doesn't get along at all.
Right.
You've got players on the team who openly question what the head coach is asking or telling them to do.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's the other thing. And I feel like they are committed to Brad Stevens. And when we had Danny Ainge on earlier in the year, remember we asked him, you know, with all the ups and downs, how do you feel about Stevens? And he was adamant that it was not Stevens' fault at all. Everything was fine. But it's easy to love the guy when he's getting the most out of the talent, like the first 5 years on the job. But then this year he didn't. So I wonder, like, truthfully, how Ainge feels about Brad Stevens. Like, is he going to be a part of the future of this team and them somehow, even with a different roster, being a title contender? Or does he say, you know what, maybe I got to start looking elsewhere? He's safe for this season. I'm just saying long term, I wonder how he views him.
How much do you also think the offseason for the Celtics is also predicated on what has already been the proven successes of two of the franchises? What is the possible success of the third? If you're sitting here in an offseason for the Celtics, you've already been disappointed with how things ended. You already think that your team should have been better than they finished. And then you've got a World Series champion, a Super Bowl champion, and theoretically a Stanley Cup champion all in the same town as well.
I think that's...
And you've got a team that's not very popular, not very likable.
No, I think that's very motivating. It is for all those teams. Like, it's almost better than if, like, the Knicks and the 76ers were good, right? Like, if they were moving on, like, oh, like, those are, like, kind of your division rivals or whatever. No, it's all the teams in the city are just having so much success. So now you're falling to fourth on that list. And not that they were ever more popular than the Patriots. I don't think they ever will be.
No.
But there was a time before the season started, as far as, you know, likability or just straight up interest in the team or buzz around the team, you're saying, wow, look at this. Look at this rebuild. You know, Ainge basically sacrificed 1 year not making the playoffs. They got rid of Pierce, Garnett, Allen, obviously the year before, Rondo, Doc. They got rid of all those guys, and they're right back where they need to be. This is unbelievable. They could compete with the Warriors. And then now they're losing in the second round. Most fans don't even want Kyrie back. Even if he wants, it's not even a decision.
We did one of those polls, and it was like 75% didn't want him back.
Which, that is the craziest part of the whole thing. Like, going into the year, before he made his little statement to the season ticket holders, yeah, there was a chance that he could leave. There was rumblings, oh, he's from New Jersey, maybe he wants to go play for Brooklyn or New York. Whatever, we heard those. But to actually have the fans, most of them anyway, not want him back, like that, I did not see a scenario like that playing out at all.
So you've got three successful and presumably popular franchises.
Yes.
And one disappointing and, at this point, not very popular franchise. No. What does the not popular franchise have to do to turn it around? And I would suggest bringing back the polarizing point guard isn't the direction to go.
No, I don't think so either. I really don't. And I think, especially if Kyrie's back, he's going to be the, you know, self-proclaimed leader, and I don't know if he's going to take you anywhere that you want to go. So it might be, can you kind of find some of that likability and lightning in a bottle that was 2 years ago, where all those guys were hurt and they made it to the conference finals, and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum sort of become the face of the franchise. You still have Horford, you still have Gordon Hayward, and maybe that's going to have to be your team for the next year.
617-779-7937. Steve's in Holyoke. Hey, Steve.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Good. Great. How are you?
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah,
I got it on the speakerphone.
Oh, you sound great.
Oh, all right. Listen, I got to be honest with you. This whole Kyrie Irving thing, why in a million years would anyone want him back? Now, let me just expound on that a little bit. He reminds me of Craig Kimball last year in the playoffs. You remember what he did 5 games in a row?
Yikes.
He was putrid. He was putrid. Geez. And why does everyone dismiss how good the Celtics were last year without him, and how good Rozier was, and how good Brown and Tatum was? He's not Batman. He's barely Robin.
Right.
He won one championship because he had the greatest player in the world on his team. Period. Look what happened in the 4 games against Milwaukee. What was it, 24 for 96 or something like that?
So, Steve, I agree with your point. I don't want Kyrie back, but just to play the other side because you were asking, I guess you could say the run last year that the team had to the conference finals was in large part due to the competition in the Eastern Conference. It wasn't nearly as strong as it is this year. Milwaukee's better, Toronto's better, Philly's better. Last year they had home court advantage, and they were able to take advantage of it for sure, but it wasn't as strong as it is this season.
Right, so this year we have our stud, Kyrie Irving, right. And look what he did.
I'm saying goodbye as well, so I'll see you later. But he is a very talented guy.
See, you can put up with the fact that he had a bad playoff series. Okay, that's fine.
Right.
If there weren't all the other things going on.
It's so much more. Right, it's so much more.
If it was just, you know what, everybody has a bad series, you move on, we'll get them next year.
Well, and it's funny because that's what happened to Portland last year.
Yes.
Portland, Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, they lose early, and there was thoughts, I don't know, do you shake this up? Do you do something? But those guys weren't giant turds. They didn't play great in that series, but they stuck by them, and now they're in the conference finals.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keefe have got a trend.
I think it's now a political issue, right? There are people with large reputations that are associated to this guy. First of all, they're probably feeling embarrassed because what they initially described as human sex trafficking has proven untrue. And that's what got the headlines, right? That's why CNN and other networks covered it that day, because it was about something really awful. But it turned out that that really awful thing wasn't actually happening, at least based on the evidence. So they're already damaged by that. And then secondarily, if their lead defendant, the star defendant, succeeds in showing that their case was illegal and unconstitutional, that's going to have some real, I would imagine, political ramifications that they're going to try to minimize.
That was Michael McCann, UNH law professor, sports legal analyst for Sports Illustrated and SI.com, who joined us earlier in the program. It's kind of an interesting situation that you've got here. As he pointed out, the initial headlines, they were trying to make it as provocative as they could, and the whole sex trafficking thing. It was the lead story on the nightly news stories that night, as he said, CNN. And then pretty much they've now said, no, there was no sex trafficking. We got that wrong.
Yeah.
So Robert Kraft and his attorneys have basically admitted to what happened. Robert Kraft has apologized. His attorneys have talked about the video, saying it's pornography.
Right.
But we don't want it out there. And why would
you? Got
it.
Understand.
Yeah, why would you?
Yeah.
So they've got a real good chance here of getting this case thrown out. We'll see you later. Dismissed. We're on our way.
Prosecutors try to dig in, you think?
Well, just, and that's one of the things that Michael talked about. Because it has become political. They probably are embarrassed. But I don't think they're probably going to prevail anyway.
Whole lot there, right.
So it's probably going to get dismissed. And yet everybody knows that he did what was alleged.
Including him. Including Roger Goodell and the league. The fellow owners and everything else. It is one of those things where, and we said this at the time, and you know, especially again, the human trafficking part was there, but it was never connected to Robert Kraft. So when we were talking about this, even the day that it came out, didn't we think that kind of shame and embarrassment was the number one penalty or number one consequence of all of this?
Which, if the video had come out, would have been.
Even more so. But even still now, I mean, you know, he's going to be the butt end of jokes for a little while. And, you know, especially the Patriot haters are going to have that as, you know, when they add to the list of when they rip Tom Brady for certain things and Belichick and now Kraft, they have this to add to it. But nobody at any point ever thought he was going to lose the team. Nobody at any point ever thought he was going to spend a day in jail. So it's just a matter of, does the videotape get out or not? And then, I guess, legacy-wise, if you're looking at how
it's not going to hurt his Hall of Fame candidacy.
See,
he'll
that was
be
my
in the
question.
Hall of Fame.
I don't think it will either. It may
delay it a year or something.
That might
something
be
like
my best guess. Is maybe, I mean, they don't want him to be in this year because they, you know, it's too close. I don't know.
I had thought for a long time that he was going to be suspended for some period of time, maybe the first six games or something. But as Michael McCann pointed out, what difference does it make for an owner? It's not like he's the GM. It's not like he's the coach.
Well, it's because that's all they really can do. It's a fine and it's a suspension. And so you're right. Suspending an owner does sound so stupid. But what are the Patriots doing game one of this season? They're going to be raising a banner, right? So maybe that is – it actually is a penalty this time around. Whereas when Jim Irsay misses – the first home game for the Colts a few years ago, whoopee-doo. Whereas this, I'm sure Kraft would want to be there. So that's something.
You know what? He's going to be there opening night. I'm convinced of it.
Really?
I didn't think he was going to be before. He's going to get a fine. Roger Goodell's going to fine him. And let's say it's $500,000, which is the most he's able to fine Kraft. I mean, I understand it's a lot of money to most of us. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
in the world they live in.
He's got it in
fine.
His couch.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Go ahead, pay the fine, and away we go. I think he's going to get fined, and I think that's going to be it.
I disagree. I think he does get suspended. I think it's going to be minimum six games, maybe eight games. I think what Jim Irsay did overall is worse than what Robert Kraft did, but Robert Kraft is a much more high-profile owner. I think he's going to want to make an example of him. And when you look at the personal conduct policy, they've made it very clear that that is for players, coaches, front office, everybody. That applies to everybody. And we've seen in the past, you don't have to be convicted of a crime in order to get penalized due to the personal conduct policy. So I don't think the NFL likes having Robert Kraft be in the news as much as he's been in the news for. And oh, by the way, the tape isn't out yet, but there's no guarantee that it doesn't come out. And so I think the most they can do is, you know, make them sit at home for a few games and fine them, and that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to try to make an example of them.
I actually think it's going to be tough to get that tape out there. I think that there is a
fear, probably a couple of clicks.
But I think there's a real fear factor. You know, you think about what happened to Gawker. Hulk Hogan put Gawker out of business because they posted the sex video of he and Bubba the Love Sponge's wife.
That's correct.
That's a name. That's a real name.
That is. Oh, he's a very successful.
Very. So
he had an issue. A couple issues.
He
too.
Put them out of business. He closed them down.
Oh yeah.
And you've already had one website reportedly offered the videotape, viewed it, said, "No, we're good. We're gonna pass."
Because. Especially when you're talking about somebody like Robert Kraft, if they want to turn... So he just hired all these lawyers for this misdemeanor, right? And so he could take these same group of lawyers, he can add a whole bunch more, and they can go after you. So you're right. There's a lot of, you know, internet trolls and things out there, but are they willing to... Do they think they can get away with it? And then also, you're not just posting it to post it. Like, you're hoping to get some money for it. So how does that then... Then you're leaving a trail. Like, they can eventually find you.
They're going to find you. I mean, I know everybody thinks they're smarter than everybody else, and, you know, they'll never track me down. No, they'll track you down.
Because there was that guy, and we talked about it on the show a few weeks ago. I didn't realize that he got in trouble, but there was a hacker who had all of these personal pictures and videos of celebrities, like mostly all actresses. And I was like, and that guy got away with it. And then we got a bunch of calls and tweets like, no, he didn't.
No.
So that's the thing, is whoever has this. And right now, I think we know of there's probably a handful of people. I mean, I don't know who they are, but people know who has seen the video. And so if it makes it to the mainstream, if it gets on Reddit or something like that, they could probably
trace it. They're
going
to be able to track it.
Yeah.
And it's one of the things, supposedly the attorneys, Robert Kraft's attorneys, in addition to the fact that they got the evidence suppressed, the video suppressed, they went back at the same judge and said, not only that, we want to make sure that that the state of Florida is prevented from retroactively going back and trying to do an end around on this order, saying, look, we're going to dismiss the charges. So as we always do, we're releasing all the evidence, which, you know, would be totally wrong, but they're probably pissed right now.
Yeah.
Robert Kraft's attorneys have made them look bad. They have just eviscerated some of these law enforcement officers on the stand. I mean, that, yet the one judge say to the one cop, you know, I would get out of here and run if I were you.
Yeah, it's not going very well for everybody down there. I mean, they thought they had this monster case. They had this famous name. They even had, as Adam Schefter said, there's going to be somebody even more famous. Remember that one?
Yeah, which was false. Well, that never, it was totally incorrect.
No, that never happened.
Look, I think he's going to pay a fine from Roger Goodell. I think this case is ultimately going to be dismissed from a legal perspective. I think his attorneys have done a masterful job of making sure that the video doesn't get out there. I think Roger Goodell will find him, and I think it's going to go away.
I think that there's still going to be a suspension, though. I do. I just think that's all they can do. And the personal conduct policy is such a gray area, and you could just sort of, there's so many different things that you could qualify for getting punished. And I think, as we learned with Tom Brady, the rest of the league thinks the Patriots get away with a lot and they don't get punished nearly enough. So when it comes to this team, whether it's a player, coach, or now the owner, I think they're going to go a little bit overboard when it comes to that. And again, you don't do so much.
If a player was in the position that Robert Kraft was in, gets caught in a police sting operation, they've got videotape, all of the stuff that make it player X instead of Robert Kraft, does that player get suspended? I don't think so.
Probably not. But isn't the owner held to a higher standard when it comes to this kind of thing?
What does that mean, though? I mean, the player's not getting fined $500,000 either.
Well, no, but they're I think they're a little bit different because you can't take games away from this from Kraft as far as like meaningful game. Like he's not playing.
That's
like,
why I'm so saying the suspension is hollow.
But why did they suspend Irsay?
Well, his was a little different. His case, and Michael McCann talked about that. I mean, it did involve some more sordid things.
No, but my point is, but they still suspended him, and right. As an owner, so you're like, what the hell is the difference? So I just think it'll look better for the league, or they'll think that it looks better to be like, see, we did everything we could. We fined and suspended him, and now we're moving on. I think if you just fine him, I think there'd be more of an outrage around the league. I mean, that's what I think. And I just, again, I think the Patriots, if it was an owner for, you know, pick a random team, like outside of.
Fired up.
Like somebody like him, if there's another owner like that, maybe it's not even as significant. But Robert Kraft is one of the more well-known owners, not just, you know, in the NFL, but everywhere. Like if another owner, like a random ass owner was on TMZ,
right,
people would be like, oh, that's just, you know, Seahawks owner. That's not a good example. But like 49ers owner. But no, it was Robert Kraft is the one that's all in the headlines.
Look, I was with you all along. I thought he was going to get suspended for 6 games, get fined $500,000, wasn't going to be there when they raised the banner and all that stuff. I'm now more and more convinced that he's going to get punished, but it's not going to be as severe as all that. I just think the legal case is going to be dismissed, even though we all know what really happened. He apologized for something. He didn't apologize for nothing.
Right.
His attorney didn't stand in front of a judge and say that videotape is pornography.
But
if there's nothing.
But the NFL doesn't have to look at it and say,
No, they don't.
Oh, that was obtained improperly, right?
They don't care about that.
Yeah.
And they will punish him.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's going to be as severe as I once thought. I think he's going to pay a monetary penalty, which doesn't matter.
But I don't even know if the NFL is necessarily going to be punishing him solely off of what his actions were. It's more about what it brought onto the league. And like, do they view it as, this is kind of, you know, just shame on the league, and now we have to do something about it.
I also, and I do think that there's something to be said for the fact that, let's be honest, Roger Goodell has nailed the Patriots pretty good in his past. You know,
yes.
He nailed Bill Belichick for Spygate. He really nailed Tom Brady for Deflategate, which we think was nothing. Julian Edelman was just suspended for 4 games. They've lost
two first-round picks. And that's insane. I mean, first-round pick is as rich a currency as there is in the NFL, and they've taken 2 away from him.
And I think at some point, Roger Goodell's going to say, look, it's just going to appear to everybody that I'm just out to get the Patriots.
Oh, but I think the rest of the league likes that.
Oh, no, I think the rest of the league does, but he's got also.
And if they have any say in it, and wasn't there that thought early on that the other owners might get together and they might have a say in it? And if that's the case, then I think he's definitely going to get whatever the most they can do.
What else you got's coming up next? OMF at the top of the hour. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
What else you got? Brought to you by the Boston Area Campus of Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Go to GoCSB.com.
We got a couple of things that we did not get to throughout the course of the program today.
What else you got?
I'll let you give it a start.
All right, I'll go first. There was a great article in The New Yorker. It was a one-on-one interview with Jackie McMullen. And so there's a lot of good stuff.
Who's, like, really good at what she does.
Oh, yeah. So there's a lot about, you know, her history in the business. But one thing that jumped out to me, I loved this. So she votes for the All-NBA teams. And these are things that I actually care about. I like the All-NBA stuff. So she, in the interview, says, quote, "We just submitted our All-NBA ballots. I left LeBron off my ballot."
Oh, now you like her even more.
Woo! She goes, "I think other people will, but it will be somewhat, I mean, he had 28-8-8. The thing that I admire most about LeBron James is how he empowered players. To me, that will be his legacy, and it's a great one. But from my thinking, this year, he took that player empowerment and abused it."
Ooh.
"He opened a grenade, threw it in the locker room, and walked out. He literally and figuratively separated himself from the team when things went bad, as if to say, this isn't on me. He showed up for a game with a glass of wine."
He did do that.
"To my mind, there has to be consequences for that. But the media in general, because he's so difficult to get access to, what people will do to curry favor with him makes me nauseous. I talked to a lot of writers who voted for All-NBA and was like, quote, did you leave him on or off? There's no right or wrong answer. I'm not suggesting he's not one of the greatest basketball players. Of course he is, but that's not what this award is. It's for the top 15 players that season, and for a guy who said, I'm not even going to play defense until the playoffs, I'm just not going to vote for that guy. I was talking to some of my colleagues and others too, and more than one was like, I can't afford to leave him off. I need the king. What has that gotten you, and where are your journalistic sensibilities? This is the biggest thing I worry about with our business. I know people say ESPN is an entertainment company, and I guess it is, but I'm not an entertainment writer. I'm a journalist."
God, I love Jackie.
That's incredible.
McMahon.
What an incredible.
Need the king.
That's what these. Yeah,
that's
probably,
what these
Windhorse. What do you think said that?
Could have been Windhorse.
What do you think said that? Of course he does.
Well, he has the king already.
He does.
It's the most disgusting line I've ever heard.
Yeah. So if LeBron finds out, and LeBron would seek through, because they post these. It's not, you know, unanimous. He's going to see who didn't vote him all NBA, and now he won't give him a quote after the game. That's embarrassing. So good for Jackie Mack. No to LeBron, all NBA.
Stand up against LeBron.
That's right.
What else you got?
So we have, from time to time, played audio from Don Cherry. Don Grapes Cherry, former Bruins coach.
One of the best.
Was here earlier this season when they retired Rick Middleton's number 16. Was on the intermission show with us. I mean, I always have fun with him. He's fun. He's funny. Once in a while, he says some things that give you pause.
Yeah, I like the suit. My favorite suit of his is the white one that looks like somebody poured blood on it.
Yeah, it's like strong.
That. I like that suit.
The one that he's wearing here was more like that, but pink instead of red.
Oh,
just
okay.
A real atrocity.
He's got the strong suit game going. So
he does.
Tonight, the Bruins, yeah, and he will freely admit they're his favorite team because of his history.
And he hates the Hurricanes.
Oh, yeah, he has a bunch of jerks. He hates the Hurricanes. So the Bruins are in Raleigh to take on the Hurricanes, Game 3, Eastern Conference Final. But the Bruins are giving Don some problems.
Uh-oh.
Now look at this, Watkins. Look at that three-piece suit. That's Marchand. And who's that on the side? Halak?
No, that was Johansson.
And who's this here?
Pasternak.
Doesn't he look good? Don't they look good?
Yeah.
They look terrific.
Torrey Krug.
Yeah.
David Krejci.
Three-piece suit. They look as good as the rest of the... Look at that.
And that's the hero, Matt Grizzlick.
And there's Bobby Orr. Look at the two guys back there, the security guys. They look like twins.
He's got Bobby Orr.
He got that one.
He got Orr. He didn't know any of the guys, so they need the sweater, basically.
He had some issues identifying
that's
some of
them. That's the problem, Dale. We try to say.
You know, when you're showing video of walk-in and they're in their nice, snappy, three-piece suits.
The NHL doesn't market its stars, where you have one of the analysts, the guy who's been in the game for 100 years, can't identify a single player on the team. Who's that, Halak?
He starts off really well.
No, look at this, Watkins. Look at that three-piece suit.
Three-piece suit.
That's Marchand. Who's that on the side? Halak?
Nope, was Johansson.
Nope. Marshawn, though, right out of the gate.
Luckily, he's got Ron McClain there.
Yeah, he knew everybody.
Ron's job is to, you know, clean it up for him.
He's the spotter there.
That's like you're Ron McClain to my Grapes Cherry
that
some
is.
Days
Sometimes
here.
You have to.
You know, where you come in and clean up my messes.
Nope, that's Johansson.
And David Krejci.
Three-piece suit. They look as good as the rest of the... Look at that.
Calling out his suits.
And that's the hero, Matt Grizzlick.
And there's Bobby Orr.
He was not going to get Grizzlick. There was no chance he was going to land on Grizzlick.
No, probably not.
He could be, look at a full roster. He wouldn't.
Well,
have
he's
one.
A big fan. He just knows them in their yeah. hockey sweaters and their helmets. You get them out of that environment. Grapes has some issues.
Oh, wait a minute. No. Yeah, could it be? We haven't had a birthday in a dog's age on the show.
It's your birthday today. It's your birthday today.
30 years young today.
I'm going to go with former Buffalo Bills quarterback Rob Johnson.
Strong guess.
Good guess.
No, no, not him?
Not him.
I'm going to go with the only other Rob I can think of.
Rob Ori, former NBA champion Rob
Mr. Rings.
Ori.
Yeah. Rob Brindamore, actually.
Big shot.
Rob Brindamore.
Big shot Rob Ori.
Yes, not him.
Former New England Patriots, maybe future New England Patriots tight end.
Could be. A little wink wink.
Rob Gronkowski.
Gronk!
30 years old today.
30.
Happy birthday, life. Rob.
I was going to say. Hall of Fame 30 career,
years
30.
Old. Camille Costa. He
doing
just
right.
did.
He's got plenty of gifts. Well, happy birthday, Gronk. Anyway.
All right, we got to get out of here. OMF's coming up next. We'll have hockey to talk about tomorrow. Brian Boucher will join us. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye. 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 Thank you.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.